You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Jack Phillips, Larry Rast, and Will Wheaton at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Registration is $150. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
On a day where you are most inclined to listen to a voice like mine, a woman's voice, to tell you that this is a problem, and it's a problem that cannot wait, and I cannot give up this platform to promote complacency and peace when there is a war on my body and a war on my rights, a war on the rights of your mothers, a war on the rights of your sisters, a war on the rights of your daughters. We cannot stay silent.
That's valedictorian Paxton Smith speaking at the graduation ceremony for Lake Highlands High School in Dallas. She dispensed with her planned speech and made an occasional speech. She is not happy that a pro-life law having to do with fetal heartbeat that would restrict abortion in Texas had passed. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 10th of June. We'll be talking with Megan Allman, a speaker for Life Training Institute, about this pro-choice high school graduation speech. Witnessing in Everyday Life will be our subject with Dr. Mark Wood. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. We'll talk science and transgenderism with Glenn Stanton of Focus on the Family. Dr. Michael New will join us to discuss a new Gallup poll on pro-life issues. And then it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The comment line, 618-223-8382. And our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us to discuss a pro-choice high school graduation speech, Megan Allman, speaker for Life Training Institute. Megan, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. I'm glad to be with you.
Before we get into Paxton Smith's comments at her graduation, what can you tell us about fetal heartbeat laws?
Sure. Well, we have seen a flurry of these laws crop up over the last couple of years, really, I think altogether in an attempt to challenge Roe versus Wade on a federal level, wanting to kind of ban abortions in these states where more conservative policy reigns. And Texas is doing the same kind of thing. Of course, they put this twist on it where now the citizens are involved so that citizens can actually sue abortion providers. That's where some of the controversy comes in for the Texas citizens. But basically the heartbeat bills that we've seen come up are ones that would ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat could be detected, which they say is as early as 6 weeks.
How do you think most 18-year-old women reach their conclusions regarding abortion?
Well, I think that most of them are reaching conclusions through the rhetoric they're hearing around them. You know, we live in a post-Roe world. The talk of the land or the position of people, especially the ones who hold the microphones, are more pro-choice. And so there's a lot of taglines that are out there. In fact, I listened to the speech that we're going to look at, and there are several things that I heard in there that she's picked up from media, from social media, from friends, from celebrities, certainly. So I think that's where most of the young girls that I work with are getting their information, but not having thought through some of the implications of what they're hearing.
Let's listen to some excerpts from Paxton Smith's graduation speech at Lake Highlands High School in Dallas and get your response.
Recently, the heartbeat bill was passed in Texas. Starting in September, there will be a ban on abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, regardless of whether the pregnancy was a result of rape or incest. 6 weeks. That's all women get. And so before they realize, most of them don't realize that they're pregnant by 6 weeks. So before they have a chance to decide if they are emotionally, physically, and financially stable enough to carry out a full-term pregnancy, before they have the chance to decide if they can take on the responsibility of bringing another human being into the world, that decision is made for them by a stranger. A decision that will affect the rest of their lives is made by a stranger.
First of all, how do you respond to her assertion that a woman's decision has already been taken away from her?
Well, I think it depends on which women we're talking about. Because when Paxton started talking, I mean, right away we hear she's very well spoken. She's obviously very passionate. But some of the things that she's saying carry the same error in them. In this case, she is making a lot of what we would call question begging assumptions, because in each of the assertions that she made in that part of her speech, she's assuming that the unborn, including unborn women, are not human like the rest of us. So as far as these decisions being taken away from women, we have to ask, well, what kind of decision are we talking about? The decision whether or not to have an abortion. By definition, abortion is the intentional killing of a human being in the womb. And that definition doesn't beg questions for those who are up on the science. So if abortion does that, then that's not the kind of decision that anyone should be allowed to make.
Did she, in effect, kind of give the store away when she said, before they can have a chance to decide if they can take on the responsibility of bringing another human into the world, she did speak of the unborn as human there, perhaps unintentionally.
She did, but notice what also that she did is that if a woman has decided that she's not emotionally ready, physically ready, financially ready, so while she recognized the unborn as human, she's also kind of wandering into an area, more philosophical area, where she is saying that these children or these human beings only have value in as much as their mothers grant it to them, which is dangerous ground. So the underlying assumption there that I don't think Paxton intended to say is that there are some human beings that matter more than others, and that's problematic.
She also assumes that society really doesn't have an interest or any right to speak on the issue of the unborn. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, well, just from what I was talking about a second ago, the underlying big idea underneath abortion is the same one that's under many of the injustices that we face, that there is some human beings that don't matter as much as others. In the case of abortion, the unborn is an entire class of humans who are deemed less than for arbitrary reasons. I know we've been on Issues Etc. before talking about that famous SLED acronym, that they're different in things like size and level of development and environment and degree of dependency, but none of those reasons are good enough to say that any of us could have been killed at that point in our development, but not now.
I have dreams and hopes and ambitions. Every girl graduating today does. And we have spent our entire lives working towards our future. And without our input and without our consent, our control over that future has been stripped away from us. I am terrified that if my contraceptives fail, I am terrified that if I am raped, then my hopes and aspirations and dreams and efforts for my future will no longer matter. I hope that you can feel how gut-wrenching that is. I hope you can feel how dehumanizing it is to have the autonomy over your own body taken away from you.
How would you respond to that, Megan?
Yeah, well, first I would say that this is very indicative of what we're facing with a world that is arguing over this issue. These are not simple matters, and none of the things that we talk about that bump into abortion are easy. She's talking about horrendous things like rape and just fear over finding yourself in a situation that you didn't plan to be in. But it comes back to really the different things that are undergirding it. This is what I keep coming back to here, these ideas that are underneath the issue. She's talking about our control over our futures. Again, assuming that the unborn human beings who would be killed because of abortion are not people with futures. She even uses the word dehumanizing, that this type of stripping of control is dehumanizing. But nothing is more dehumanizing than setting aside an entire class of human beings to be killed for the reasons that she's naming. Again, reasons that are difficult, that deal with not easy things, not flippant things, but not reasons that are good enough to take a human life intentionally. Another thing she does in this section of the speech is she gives away her position a little bit more. Notice early on, she's appealing to the emotion of the audience by talking about cases of rape and incest. These are the hard cases. Now, there is an answer to these cases. Again, not easy, complex. But abortion, morally speaking, comes back to that question, what is the unborn? However, she adds in a new part, if my contraceptives fail. In other words, if I have sex for the purpose of having sex and don't plan to be pregnant but become pregnant anyway, then abortion on demand. So her view is much bigger than just the hard cases, and she does give that away there. When it comes to things like autonomy, as she's talking about, again, control over my future, these things that deal with I want sex but not the consequences of sex, which I think is indicative of a lot of what's going on right now, there are a couple things going on when it comes to this that are interesting to me, a couple of underlying things. The weird thing is it talks about pregnancy as if it's some kind of a handicap or a disease, this thing that's going to stand in the way of everything else. And I find that a little bit odd, especially when the rhetoric is that the pro-abortion position is one that loves women, one that wants women to be free as women. But when I think about pregnancy, that is something that only women can do. That is something essential to being female and something very special for women. Yet we live in a culture that says in order to be loved as a woman, you have to deny this essential part of your own biology in some way or some shape, form, or fashion.
Here is the final part of Paxton Smith's speech.
On a day where you are most inclined to listen to a voice like mine, a woman's voice, to tell you that this is a problem, and it's a problem that cannot wait, and I cannot give up this platform to promote complacency and peace when there is a war on my body and a war on my rights. A war on the rights of your mothers, a war on the rights of your sisters, a war on the rights of your daughters. We cannot stay silent.
So she's speaking there, as she says, in a woman's voice. What is that intended to communicate about her message regarding abortion and the unborn?
Yeah, good question, Todd. What she's indicating there is, as so many women do, that this is a women's issue. That's one of the things that I vehemently say, no, it's not. This is not a women's issue any more than it is a person with brown eyes' issue. That is a quote from the ethicist Christopher Kaiser. But when it comes to abortion, we are talking about a human rights issue. It is true that it affects women differently than men, but it is not, strictly speaking, a women's issue.
What about the phrase, war on my body?
Yeah, that's back to that autonomy question, that somehow I am in control of my own biology, my own fate, my own destiny in every aspect to the point where I get to define what it is that's within me. Again, going back to that strange kind of twist on what this would mean. I mean, we've seen throughout history since the Industrial Revolution and all that led up to it, way on down through just a few decades ago with the sexual revolution in the West here, how women have been told that in order to be free, to be women, they have to in some way deny some part of what it means to be a woman. And we live in a culture now that is not very welcoming to women and children. That's why we see so much of what's going on in the workplaces and all of that. And I think my question usually is, when I'm working with young people or thinking through this, why is it as women that we have to shape our bodies in some way to fit a culture that is broken in this way, rather than starting to answer questions in the culture that would allow women and children to be more welcomed?
If you could speak one-on-one with Paxton Smith, what would you say to her?
I think I'd want to hear Paxton's story. She is clearly an articulate, bright young woman. She has a lot of strong thoughts about these types of things. I'd want to know why she holds the position she does and how she got there. I'd be really interested in hearing that. And I think that being the young woman that she is, she would be open to dialoguing about it, to asking good questions and coming to a conclusion that I would hope is more open to the unborn as well as the human being she obviously cares so deeply about.
Megan Ullman is a speaker for Life Training Institute. You'll find a link to Life Training Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Megan, thanks.
Thanks, Todd.
We will take up the subject of witnessing in everyday life with the author of The Issues Etc., a book of the month for June, Connected to Christ, Dr. Mark Wood, right after this.
Call it what? as you like. I call it life. I call it life. I prayed for things nobody.
When we opened Masterpiece Cake Shop back in 1993, we knew there would be many cakes that we wouldn't be able to create.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
Cakes that were anti-American, contained profanity, or denigrated other people, including people who identify as LGBT. The cake that took us to the Supreme Court was a cake with a view of marriage that was opposed to the biblical teaching that I believe, and as a follower of Jesus, I can't go against it. But it's always the message of the cake, never the person asking for the cake.
You can meet and hear Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop making the case for the freedom of conscience at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. simplyclassical.com.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.